Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Barrichelme le pegó. Gol, gol, gol. Gol de Tati Castellanos. Gol, gol, gol. Gol, 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 gol del Pichichi. Gol, 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 gol de Tati. Gol de Castellanos. Gol de Tati Castellanos. Díganlo conmigo una vez. Tati Castellanos. Díganlo conmigo dos veces. Tati Castellanos. Díganlo conmigo tres veces. Tati Castellanos. Pues díganlo conmigo cuatro veces. Gol, gol, gol y gol de Tati Castellanos.
Welcome to another episode of the La Liga Lowdown podcast. It's Matt Clark again here with Paco Pollitt. We've had a fantastic midweek round of fixtures, some incredible matches, goals everywhere, almost everywhere, some stunning scorelines, some individual performances that we will remember for a very long time. Paco, how are you? It's been a long week, but it's been a good one.
Yes, definitely. I think that whenever this time of the year comes around with, midweek games, as La Liga tends to rush towards its conclusion, most of the time the main reason to be alarmed is maybe the form of the teams. You know, if they get to this point very, very tired with not the best levels of stamina, of endurance. But I think that most of the games this week were, you know, pretty interesting with a couple of low points. And also plenty of, you know, upsets. Real Madrid losing, Barca losing, Atletico doing their thing, Valencia with that clutch game in the 94th minute, Sevilla with yet another win under Mendilibar's tenure. So, yeah, it was a very, very interesting one. Not season-defining. Maybe, well, for Quique Sánchez Flores over at Getafe because he got sacked, but yeah, it was pretty interesting. And, you know, the wheel doesn't stop turning and we have... in an immense way, many, many games coming up in the following weekend.
Indeed. Well, there's probably only one place to start. We could have started in a few, but I think we have to start with the poker player that is Tati Castellanos. Four goals against Real Madrid. The first player to do that since Robert Lewandowski in 2013 in the Champions League. And the first player to do it in La Liga against Real Madrid since 1947. I mean, what a performance.
70 years.
Yeah. What a performance from Tati. I mean, Paco, how impressive was he? And yeah, Militao will have to defend a lot better against Erling Haaland, won't he?
Yeah, it wasn't really the best showcase of Real Madrid's defensive prowess. But, you know, when you have Valentin Mariano Castellanos in such an on-point mood, yeah, it was unstoppable. You know, Tati Castellanos was just in that zone that sometimes comes around for sportsmen where... he did everything well, you know. And actually, if you see the overall stats with five shots on target for Girona, four of them going in and four of them, you know, being scored by the same guy, speaks volumes about just how accurate they were, how focused they were. What happens often is that Real Madrid are able to just turn it around in the second half with that push, which is already, you know, a trademark of them. But yeah, their defending wasn't that great. As you said, Militao didn't have really his best game. Rudiger wasn't really in his best day either. Nacho, Carvajal, you know, the back four in Real Madrid. And also the midfield weren't able to really stop Girona coming on their waves in the second half. And as you said, the main worry for Real Madrid isn't the actual defeat in this game, because fighting for La Liga is a no-no. But at the end of the day, you have to look at what their main priority is. And both in Copa del Rey, in that Copa del Rey final against Osasuna, and also obviously in the Champions League semifinals against Erling Braut Haaland and the rest of the Manchester City offense, these kind of looks are those which really worry Carlo Ancelotti. He wasn't really pleased, you know, in the post-press conference after the game. He was chuckling and, you know, that kind of, with his
eyebrow.
Thinking about his eyebrow, you know, like full speed working overtime, trying to fend off the questions of the journalists, because really his Real Madrid, it wasn't the worst look of the season, because they've had worse and they have lost big games also this year. Not really that they matter, but possibly it was the game this year where Real Madrid seemed more defenseless. And it really isn't the best moment, you know, to give that sort of image outwards when you have Manchester City waiting and you have Haaland, you know, sharpening his tools in order to do his work a couple of weeks from now.
Indeed, yeah. They were without Thibaut Courtois and Karim Benzema in this game. It was Vinicius who was kind of a one-man attacking band. I don't want to dwell on this too much, Packer, but we do have to talk about him again. He got his 9th yellow card of the season. I know we were watching this on Tuesday and there was a bit of chat in the group about the way that he kind of is always the centre of everything that seems to happen, good or bad, in a game.
Yeah. Yes, and I think that is one of the you know, main frustrations for Ancelotti, because he's trying to get him... We have spoken about this in this show, this season so far, trying to get him to focus just on the game and not everything surrounding it, not you know, everything related to the opposition, to other players who really know how to push his buttons and get him to react in a certain way. And I think that as long as this player is able to just play football and forget about anything else, he will be a massive player. You're like a world-class, he's already, might be already there if you ask many fans, but I think that he can be even better. And in this case, I think most of the mental task has to be performed by his manager, and I'm 100%, you know, sure that Ancelotti is trying to do his best in this issue.
Yeah. But credit to Girona, the only side in La Liga history with a positive balance against Real Madrid. Fantastic result for Michel as well. He said he'd prefer Manchester City to get through. Well, he's just shown Pep a blueprint of how to do the job. As for Barca, they had the chance to go 14 points clear and really just about completely sentenced the league title, but they failed to take advantage. They went to Vallecas and were beaten 2-1, and it was pretty convincing. The scoreline, if anything, flatters Barca. And since promotion, Rayo have taken 10 points from 12 against the Catalans, and they've beaten both Spanish giants at Vallecas this season. The return of Mata Gigantes, Rayo Vallecano, what a team.
Yeah, I think Iraola really has his, you know, his work in front of him, you know, settled in front of him whenever he faces Xavi. He seems to be that kind of manager who really defends and promotes a play style which doesn't really sit well with Xavi and what he wants, you know. And looking at the stats and also the general impressions of the game, I would say Rayo dominated the game. Yeah, Lewandowski cut it short at the end, you know, he got that late goal with 10 minutes to go. Barca were expected to make a push in the last minutes of the game, but I never really saw the game in danger for Rayo, because they looked really, really confident. Álvaro scored in the first half. Later in the first couple of minutes of the second one, Fran García make it a 2-0. Overall, the stats say that Rayo were better than Barca, and you could see it, you know, overall in the play style, even though they didn't have the ball possession. But it really doesn't matter. If you really know what to do with the ball whenever you have it, if you have 50%, 40%, 35%, it doesn't matter. It really matters what you do when you do have the ball at your feet. So, yeah, it was disappointing, because I think Barca bottled it. They had the chance of finishing off the season in a strong note. And ultimately, if you see in the last four games, they've only won one. You know, two stumbles, two draws. They won last week. suffering 1-0 with that Ferran Torres goal, and once again midweek they lost against Rayo Vallecano, so not really worrying because they were going to win La Liga regardless, but it's not the same way. You know, you finish the season strongly, you try to get as close as possible to that 100-point mark. It would have been, you know, quite a statement by Xavi's men, but ultimately I don't think Barca are going to make it, and I think they're going to fall short in that target.
Yeah, their maximum is now 97, and it looks like being quite a dramatic off-season for the club. Today we heard news that they're going to close Barca TV, and we know they're already moving to the Olympic Stadium at Montjuic while Camp Nou is renovated, so plenty of things to happen in the summer, not least the all the transfer rumours about a certain Leo Messi. Moving on to Thursday night's action now, and what a game at Mestalla. We knew this was going to be important. We knew the atmosphere was going to be fantastic. Paco, Valencia won again. You'll be hoping that we're on the pod together every time now, because that's two in a week and Valencia have won both games.
Yeah, it's the first time Valencia managed to, you know, link two wins in a row in the last, I believe, 7 or 8 months. You know, it's a huge amount of time of Valencia just disappointing their fan base. But yeah, they managed to pick up the 3 points against Elche a few days ago. And tonight, you know, the atmosphere was absolutely buzzing over at Mestalla, because the fan base, 42,000 strong tonight in the ground, they really know what is in the line at this point. You know, the fans might be even more important for Valencia than most of its players. Because I have to say it, maybe I'm putting it a bit bluntly, but there are some Valencia players who don't really have the level to play in such a club, as with the importance and the relevance of Valencia. And at the same time, whenever things go south and any side is in a critical state or in dire straits, clubs as Valencia tend to look to their own youth academy system. And we've seen that plenty of times back in the past, you know. If you see Paco Ayestarán and Boro in the 2016 season, and later when Prandelli came around, they pulled Carlos Soler out of the sleeve. You know, it was like their magic trick. And Carlos Soler became huge for Valencia. Back in 2013, same could be said about Juan Bernat, José Luis Gallá, Paco Alcácer, those players. You have to look to your academy when things are not going the way you want. And in this case, obviously, Valencia overcomplicated things at the beginning, with Mukhtar Diakabi making a huge mistake at the back. And later, Diakabi was able to just compensate for that with that header, which was, in my view, a huge blooper by Enric Masip.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was thinking. I think the goalkeeper believed that Valladolid's goalkeeper thought that the ball was going outside.
Just forgot where his post was.
Yeah, he did miss the, you know, the spatial awareness about around him, and he tried to leave the ball to just go out of bounds, and it went easily and straight into the back of the net. And with the, you know, the push of that goal and the momentum of that goal, Valencia really dominated the last half of the second half, the last 20-30 minutes. And yeah, Javi Guerra came in. Other midfielders had disappointed, but when the young player, 19 years old, he plays often as number 10 for the B team, he came in and he made an immaculate run through the middle, and the finish with the you know, the strike with the left foot, it was an absolute rocket of a goal, and you could hear from my flat the sound coming from the stadium, yeah, which is a few kilometers away, but in these kinds of nights, it's that kind of silence and buzz, and suddenly the big explosion of cheerfulness, of happiness, of a liberation, I would say. And Valencia were able to win a massive game, pull ahead of the relegation spots plus 2 points, which is also very important, and face with much more optimism the following game, which is also crucial against Cádiz this next weekend. So Valencia are playing match ball after match ball, and the last two have, fortunately for them, you know, been won in, I wouldn't say spectacular fashion, with plenty of agony, but in a necessary way.
Indeed. And that's the first defeat for Paolo Pezzolano at Real Valladolid. They'd never lost this season when scoring first, and Valencia had not won this season when conceding first. So both of those results flipped on their heads. And as you say, First time Valencia got back-to-back wins in the league this season. Speaking of the relegation battle, there was another huge one on Wednesday at the Coliseum Alfonso Pérez, and another first, Almería won away from home. Yes, you heard that right. Almería won away from home. And Ruby as well, his first away win as a coach since his Betis days. And this result was pretty significant because it means Getafe are now dropped into the bottom three. And the big news from Thursday, Kike Sanchez-Flores has been sacked. Paco.
Yes, and I think it's quite unfair on Kike Sanchez-Flores because he has been able to keep Getafe afloat or at least one or two points above the relegation spots for most of the season. And actually, this game isn't really something to, you know, to value Kike's merits as a manager, because it was obviously conditioned by Gené's red card, which is, in my view, very, very harsh, extremely harsh. I think that in such a game with two teams with everything on the line, fighting for their lives in the relegation scrap, as a referee, I don't think that you know, sending Gené off in such a way was the way to go. In my view, it was a bit unfair the way Getafe's demise happened, but at the same time, you can't say that Almeria's win wasn't deserved with that brace by Luis Suarez. Taking advantage of playing with one man more. But later in the last 20 minutes, it was Getafe's game. You know, they had the chances, they had 21 shots, 9 of them on target, more or less the same stats and numbers as Almeria, but playing for one half of the game with one man down, which I think has plenty of merit. So, after the defeat, Kike was sacked, which is something not really understandable, because at the end of the day, Ángel Torres, a guy which I surely and deeply respect, because I think he's one of the best presidents in La Liga, I think he overreacted, you know, maybe because of all of those locker room issues and, you know, bad blood happening between some players and all of the wear down that we've seen in the last few months inside the club. But usually if you sack a manager, that's because you have the replacement already in place, you know, already waiting for coming as quickly as possible. But that didn't happen for Getafe. It was the rumor on the streets was that José Bordalás was very close to making a grand return in the last 7 games. But my sources say that he didn't really see the situation in such a way for him to risking so much in order to come and save the team. Because remember that Bordalás hasn't trained any La Liga team this year. He has been on the sidelines for quite a while, you know, waiting for maybe Valencia even making just another phone call and asking to come back. Also Getafe. But when you are this close to the end of the competition, you don't really want to risk your prestige. Yeah. And that's why I believe that Getafe's sports director, Rubén Reyes, is going to be in charge and be at the helm for the remaining 7 games. Which is, again, in my view, not the best course of action. But, you know, Ángel Torres took a swift move, decided to sack Kike Sanchez-Flores. And let's see if this play, which is very risky, as I said, pays off or makes things even worse.
Yeah, there's a lot to lose for all of these clubs. And that's the 8th club to sack a manager this season. Some of those, of course, multiple times. That's all we have time for in part one. But in part two, we've got plenty more coming your way, including Atleti's celebration of their anniversary and some more matches with plenty on the line. Stay tuned.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile.
Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ataca el Atlético Rubén.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown. It's our match day 31 recap. We've had a fantastic packed midweek full of games, full of goals, full of action. We're here to discuss it all. Atletico Madrid celebrated their 120th anniversary in some style, coming from behind to beat Mallorca 3-1. It was a fantastic atmosphere at the Civitas Metropolitano. Atleti in their historic, traditional blue and white strip. They looked fantastic. Paco, another win for Atleti there, right on the coattails of Real Madrid in second.
Yes, and that's once again might be one of the biggest benefited sides of the midweek competition, because I don't really think there's a more informed side right now in La Liga. I would say Atletico Madrid and Sevilla can go toe-to-toe in that sense. But once again, Atletico's game was an absolute masterpiece. Especially in the second half. You know, in the first one, I think Mallorca surprised everyone with that Nastasic opener. Nobody expected Mallorca. They tend to score when on the road, but not really are the first ones to do it, because it's they are finding it tough to win games away whenever they are on the road. But Atletico had to work quite a lot in order to turn it around. And Rodrigo De Paul with the leveler just behind and before the break, and later Alvaro Morata with that great score header. Carrasco scored the third one, and generally they had the game absolutely in control. It was an absolute pity, because I think that Griezmann deserved to score. He had a few chances, and overall great dominance by Atleti's men. Simeone wanted, he really knows how to put a show, you know, how to put on a show whenever there's a significant date to be celebrated. And this one was the big moment. We did see former legends. You know, I was very happy to see once again Mono Burgos on top of the pitch, where he has become, back in the day he did in El Calderón, and also in Wanda Metropolitano, he did become a staple of what Atletico was and Colchoneros were. But yeah, it was overall a great night for Atletico fans. And as you said, slowly but steadily, watching their streak of results and their last defeat, if you leave aside that Barca game, was against Real Madrid in Copa del Rey, which happened in January.
Yeah.
So if you take everything into consideration, we're talking about the best team of the second half of the league, hands down. And if they finish second, it would definitely be deserved, because they have been slowly building up from the ground. From the ground up once again, which is Simeone's trademark, I would say. You know, remember at the beginning of the season, you might remember all the criticism going his way. You know, the Champions League games, you know, not really impressing in La Liga.
Questions about his future.
Yeah, if he's going to continue the following season, what is going to happen next summer. Nobody questions today Cholo Simeone. For a good reason, you know, because I think he has once again, with the jigsaw finished and every single piece in place, he managed to unsolved it and put it together once again, rearranging the pieces and with the same end result. In this case, without Joao Felix as the, you know, disruptive reason over there, and basing most of it once again in Jan Oblak at the back, strong defense, and Antoine Griezmann doing his thing. So, big merit for him. I would say that he deserves high praise once again, and that Atletico fans have many reasons to be happy with him.
Yeah, Antoine Griezmann, the most important piece for sure. He's reached double digits in goals and assists in La Liga this season. Yeah. Here's a quick question for you, Paco, very quickly. Can Atleti win the league next season?
I think they need to reinforce the midfield. I think that, and also maybe the central defending spot, because the rest of the squad, in my view, remains very, very impressive. They would be definitely a contender in my book if they are able to reinforce those two pieces, both the midfield and the central defending. And speaking about the midfield and that place, the latest, word in the streets is that Atletico are following Kangin Lee's footsteps. And I think that's a great move for them. Coming a bit over the left field because he doesn't really have that defensive spirit which Simeone wants. But Kangin Lee has grown a lot under El Vasco Aguirre in the last two seasons.
Yeah.
And he has become a much more rounded up player, you know, much more complete in many other areas. He was excellent with the ball. He was excellent with his passing ability, also when finishing. But he has learned to put in the work. I think it would be a huge signing for them. Massive. Mm-hmm. And their expense isn't going to be as high as many people think.
Yeah. There were reported meetings after the Mallorca game at Atleti on Wednesday. Speaking of teams that have a pretty good squad on paper, Villarreal, they came from behind to beat Espanyol 4-2. Another win for them as they get back from two defeats. They now leapfrog Betis in the race for Europe. And Espanyol, really problems for them right now. They're 4 points from safety, still no win under Luis García. Conceding so many goals, only Elche have conceded more in the league. It's looking pretty worrying for them, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that the replacement in the dugout hasn't worked for Espanyol, and I do have serious doubts that it's going to work because of the lack of experience. It's more or less the same case as in Valencia, but Valencia do have Mestalla as their as their place where they can find their footing, and they have that kind of fortress when they can become mighty thanks to the pressure of the fans. But Espanyol don't really have that. They are very similar whenever they play at home and away from home. And in this case, we have to commend, their effort in the first half, because for many minutes it seemed that they could actually pick up something positive of this game. They fought tooth and nail during the first half to, keep the game as tight as possible. Javi Puado scored the opener, but, they were just crumbled to the ground in the second half with that Etienne Capoue brace, Dani Parejo, who scored a crucial goal also, Nico Jackson scoring once again. So, and the late red for Edu Esposito isn't going to make them any favours in the upcoming games. So, actually, the numbers of the game, 31 shots overall for Villarreal, 13 of them going on target, 4 goals. It speaks volumes about just how weak Espanyol's defense is. And if you are just unable to keep a clean sheet here and there, you are doomed to relegation. Unfortunately for Pericos fans, I have many friends over there. Some of them might be listening to this right now, but I think that the swap in the bench and bringing in Luis García wasn't really the wisest move, and I think ultimately Espanyol will pay. And as for Villarreal, they found themselves in a tight spot and they were able to, get out of there and suddenly taking advantage of Real Sociedad and Betis just playing, I would say, the weak punches game, because it was a very, very boring game between Betis and Real Sociedad. Villarreal suddenly has snuck behind them and is only 5 points away from Real Sociedad, Champions League spots, and it's already over Betis. Villarreal sitting fifth, 1 point over Betis, who are sixth. And if you spoke to Villarreal fans at the beginning of the season, they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't believe that you were joking with them, because they were very, very far behind. And I think that the second half of the league for Villarreal has been pretty impressive, and that they 100% deserve the current success they are enjoying.
Mm. Yeah, it's a talented squad that does deserve to be pushing up the table. We are fast running out of time, Packer, but I'll just read a few more results here and some talking points, and then we'll have some closing thoughts. Osasuna got another fantastic win away at Cadiz. They were much changed, but they got another win in that race for seventh. And of course, they're looking ahead to the Copa del Rey final in just over a week's time. Ezabde was sent off in this one, so that's the only kind of spot for them.
No chance to speak well about him.
No, we praised him on the weekend, and then he goes and gets sent off.
I might think that maybe Arrasate is happy for Abde to miss one game or two in order to rest him a bit. But yeah, it's true that he was being the more electric, you know, the more dynamic player for the team in the last few games. And yeah, it showed Cadiz's incapacity to score, you know, inability to make a dent on a very tight-knit defense as Osasuna's. And it's quite a pity, because I think Cadiz, for most of the time, they have been, you know, walking the tightrope of being a relegation zone contender or being clear of danger. They have been in that zone for most of the season, and they actually thrive whenever, you know, finding themselves in tight spots. But this loss was quite a big blow for them, because they really need to secure the points whenever playing at Nuevo Mirandilla. If they are unable to do that whenever going on the road, things are not going to look better for them. So yes. This Ruben García's strike in the second half just sent Cadiz straight into the mat. And yeah, with a very efficient game under their belt, Osasuna got 3 more points. And actually, they are only 5 away from Betis. Osasuna have 2 shots at becoming Euro Osasuna. On one hand, you know, winning that Copa del Rey final against Real Madrid. And on the other hand, becoming sixth, which is only 5 points away, which are 2 games with 7 remaining. So it seemed that their season was over once avoiding the drop and just ending mid-table. But they have many things to fight for in the remaining games.
Indeed, they do. Celta beat Elche 1-0, and that there was a late goal from Joseph Aidu that prevents Beka Cheche from getting his first point. Elche will be relegated if they lose on Saturday against Rayo. And lastly to mention, Athletic 0, Sevilla 1, a late Lucas Ocampos penalty, which you don't agree with. It extends Mendy's fantastic run.
Yeah, it wasn't, in my view, it wasn't a pen. I think it was Inigo Martinez who slipped at the back, but he did actually, in his slide tackle, he touched the ball. In my view, it was a perfectly legal play, but, you know, the referee decided it was going to be a penalty, and once again, Ocampos magnificently scored and took it and got the 1-0. And yeah, I think that the Mendilibar's run is spectacular, you know. 7 games, 2 draws, 5 wins, suddenly Sevilla becoming a mid-table side, when they were 1 month ago in the relegation zone. I think it's one of the best stories of the season. And if Sevilla are smart, they should extend Mendilibar's contract before this weekend. I think that he has proven that he can do wonders with this squad. Great, great work by Mendilibar. Very, very impressive.
Indeed. Final question then, Paco. It's not the game I thought we'd be talking about last on the show, but Betis 0, Larreal 0. You've mentioned already it was quite soporific, but little question then, is the Champions League dream over for Betis?
Obviously not, because it's only 6 points away from Real Sociedad, but, you know, Real Sociedad and Betis, in Real's case, they were just happy to keep Betis at bay and pick up a point on the road, but ultimately Betis had 1 shot on target in 90 minutes. Not enough. Definitely not enough. I can't believe that Pellegrini was happy about the display of his team. Whereas for Imanol Alguacil, obviously he is happy to win at home, pick up points on the road. That's like the English average that we said back in the day. And, you know, slowly but steadily, 55 points on the road to becoming the fourth team this season to qualify for the Champions League. but they will need to improve, because I wasn't really impressed with Real Sociedad. I think that both sides were more tired, and at the same time, if you add the fact that they weren't at the top of their game stamina-wise, and also very worried about not conceding to the opposition, that's why we had such a boring game in El Benito Villamarín.
So the state of play at the bottom, Real Valladolid the lead on 35 points, then Almeria and Valencia on 33 apiece. Then it's Cadiz who have dropped to 17th. They have 32 points. That's one clear of Getafe in that relegation zone now on 31. Espanyol are 3 points further back on 28. And of course, Elche right down there on 13. Upcoming fixtures for match day 32. Friday night, we are back in Pamplona for Osasuna against Real Sociedad. A really tasty looking Basque-ish derby. On Saturday, we have Elche against Rayo. As we say, Elche will be down if they lose that game. Real Madrid taking on Almeria, where Rubi will see if he can win another game on the road at no less than the Santiago Bernabeu. And then Saturday night, a huge game, Barça against Betis. Pressure on Barça to get back to winning ways. Betis too know they need a result to stay in the European race. And then on to Sunday, we have a huge couple of games here. Cádiz-Valencia, massive game at Nuevo Mirandía. Villarreal against Celta. And then Espanyol against managerless Getafe. What a game that should prove to be. And finally on Sunday, Real Valladolid against Atleti. And then we have two games on Monday. Mallorca against Athletic Club and Sevilla against Girona. So Paco, get some rest. Thank you very much for your company tonight. It's been a pleasure as ever. And yeah, subscribe to our Substack, llonline.substack.com. Follow us at La Liga Lowdown on Twitter for coverage of the weekend's action, where things just keep hotting up in La Liga. But from all of us here, we'll speak to you again soon. Adios.
El niño.
El chavalín.
El niño ha hecho el gol.
Javi Guerra se llama. ¡Mamma mía, Mestalla! 48 de la segunda parte. Mestalla se cae.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.